Mini episode 1730 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1730. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you with one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, my great friend, 10-time author and Sportsology proprietor Russ Cohen, who is always neck-deep in covering the great sport of hockey and, of course, has been covering all throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs and will be doing likewise for the Stanley Cup final, which is starting this upcoming weekend here. It is Edmonton v. Florida, which I will say as a point of personal privilege, for anybody that looked at our breakdown that we had, our FDH end of regular season breakdown, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, this is actually the matchup that I had forecast at the time. So I will pat myself on the back for that one. You won't hear that from me in other years where I didn't pick either one of the two teams, but since I picked both of them this time, we shall see.
I picked both as well in the SiriusXM broadcast game. Mm-hmm. It's just a game. Nobody has money on it. And I'm leading everybody by a point.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, the funny thing is that I may end up sort of hedging myself here because I've been making picks also on Twitter going throughout the playoffs. And although I had Edmonton making the Western Conference final and then moving on, I was just so impressed with the way that Dallas had looked. I think I forgot about what my original rationale was, because my original rationale was Edmonton's going to have an easier path and maybe Dallas will get tired out, and that's why I'll take Edmonton. But in the moment, I'm like, I can't pick against Dallas. And then I made an opposite pick on Twitter at the time, forgetting what my original superior rationale was. So, Russ Cohen, as we bring you into this here, again, it's been quite a path for both teams, and I know it was a disappointing path ending for your New York Rangers, the President's Cup winners in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, so I did pick Florida in that series, too.
Yes.
I just didn't think the Rangers would have enough. Florida's so deep. Like, they're four lines deep. Their defense is a lot more impressive than it used to be. And Bob continues to impress me. You know, remember, with that salary about 3-4 years ago, people were like, oh, my God, he's finished, and Spencer Knight's going to be the next goalie. And, you know, he still will be the next goalie, but not right now. And they paid Spencer Knight pretty well a couple of years ago because they felt like, we're not sure about Bob. And, you know, Bob's fine. I had brought up a stat. I find stats once in a while, and you know, sometimes you throw regular season stats out, but I found the trend. And that was, and again, this was an unpopular thing. I was the unpopular guy every time I said it. Like, people would get mad at me. Like, I was saying that this guy's not a good goalie. And I really like Jake Ottinger. I always thought he could be a top goalie, and I think he is. But the problem was, every game he would give up at least 3 goals to the Edmonton Oilers. And that really held right up until the last game, which was, what, a 2-1 victory, right?
And yes.
So he only gave up 2. And it really held through. Like, this was, like, over, like, this year and I think last year. And it was, like, every game. And I looked at it, maybe there was one outlier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I think this is a trend. And it turned out to be true. So that was something that I had looked at and said, all right, that I have to go this way, regardless of everybody liking Dallas. Of course, mm-hmm. I like Dallas. They're a likable team, but, you know, whatever.
Well, and I think I've brought this up with you previously on the show here. You can file this one really under deep cuts. This is such a hipster thing for me to mention. I should be wearing skinny jeans as I'm mentioning it to you. But back around the turn of the century, a little before, a little after, Those matchups, I think they were almost always in the first round. Dallas and Edmonton, those were fun series. Like, Edmonton was always outmanned in those series, but they fought tough. Sometimes that they would stretch it to six or seven. I think one of those years they got swept, but I think one of the years they actually pulled an upset. Like, that, like, when you think back on, like, rivalries in the league, like, nobody's ever going to put Dallas and Edmonton on, you know, maybe even the fifth tier. But, like, under the radar, that's a thing where it really, you know, I remember that from back in the day. And then, interestingly enough, last time Dallas was in the Stanley Cup final was in Edmonton because it was the bubble year. So there was actually, there was more ties between those two teams here than would meet the naked eye, I think.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I felt like the bubble was a bit of a white herring, but the Dallas team was really good. So I think that would have happened anyhow. So that's fine. And, you know, so now I look at this Edmonton team and they do some things that they never used to do. I mean, there's no way a couple of years ago, this Edmonton team could have only had 10 shots on goal and won a game.
Right.
That would be impossible. Either goaltending would have been bad or their defense would have, you know, given up something to blow it. Something would have happened. So they've really jumped. And it's really sad. It's really sad that we have to say that the most exciting offensive team in hockey did great because they only had 10 shots on goal, won a game 2-1. Like, what a hockey world this is when we're talking about boring hockey. And it wasn't really boring, but it was a little on the boring side. But boring hockey being paramount to winning. I hate myself just even for saying it.
No, I get that. I get what you're saying. I mean, those were relatively...
I know.
Both series were low scoring relative to what they could have been, right? With some of the firepower
yes.
involved on both sides. And yet, it was one of those things where, again, the games were close and compelling. The Eastern Conference Final, as you well know, those couple of games all going to overtime.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, it was really one of those deals where, like, as soon as both series were at 2-2, I was like, we are not going to be seeing bad hockey for as far as the eye could see. Like, if one team
right.
jumps off to a shocking lead in the Stanley Cup final, then maybe. But it's like you're looking at games 5 on both sides, which are usually decisive and proved to be here. Game 6 you knew was going to be pretty strong because it's a closeout game, potentially. And then now you come into the Stanley Cup final. So we had that guarantee there of, like, really good hockey games for a period of time here at a point in time when both of the NBA conference finals were really kind of a drizzling fart. So it was really a chance for hockey to kind of step up there with the extra games that they had. Of course, neither series goes 7, but undeniably exciting series through and through.
Yeah, I mean, me knowing nothing about the NBA and having to, on my show, Locked On Flyers, give advice, betting advice with mm-hmm. the FanDuel spot, I gave out the Knicks most times and it worked out for a while.
Okay.
And then when that wasn't working, I went to the Celtics. Like, I didn't have to,
sure.
you know much.
Yeah.
And so, with the NHL, it's a little dicier, a little harder to figure. And I think this Cup's going to be harder to figure because it's odd. There's too many games in between, too many days off in between. They're going to travel like almost 2,500 miles if you're, you know, a media member. I'm not covering it this year. This is an odd year for me.
Yeah.
Usually I cover the Cup. So, you know, one of those things didn't work out. So I look at it and I'm like, yeah, I trust me, and I hate these haters that will come out and say, oh, this is the worst case scenario for the NHL for viewership. And it's like, I don't care.
Right.
Like, I don't care.
Well, they're going to be great games, first of all. Because,
yeah.
again, these are... You figure that, again, this is the way that I've been putting it here, as I've been sort of, you know, doing a little bit of the humble brag with my friends about having picked the two teams here. I've been like, look, I think there was about 8 teams overall that had a realistic chance of being there. And I think the fact that I went against Dallas in the picks that I did in my bracket beforehand was because Dallas had a couple of those teams in their path, Vegas and then Colorado. So I was right about that.
The only reason that I remember you went against Dallas is because you didn't like J.R. Ewing. But otherwise, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Screw that guy, Team Bobby. But as far as it goes, with that, and Edmonton had the easier path, and it really kind of played out. But yeah, and to this whole thing of like, you knew there was going to be that whole talk about, oh yeah, people are really going to care about Edmonton, Florida, because that's the same thing they said a year ago with Florida and Vegas. Neither one of those are traditional hockey markets.
Right,
so at least
right.
Edmonton is. Of course, Edmonton won't figure into ABC's ratings. But again,
no.
you're talking about a couple of the
which
best.
Which is a weird thing. We should talk about that for just a moment.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I started to interview a guy named Bob Swatos, and he was a big wig with the Buffalo Sabres. He was like their executive counsel, and he used to be on the inside of the NHL stuff. And you know, when we talked about ratings and being up close to ratings, like you're in Buffalo and you get the bleed over for Canada. In this day and age, I don't know why they can't count it. It just seems odd to me. It's like, you know, you're at the point where, like, what are you supposed to pretend that nobody from Canada is going to watch this just because you haven't been able to figure out a way to monetize it? I think it's just stupid. Just show how many people are watching. Who cares? It shouldn't always have to be about money to justify it.
Oh, yeah. And they ought to have a combined ratings metric, I would say, between the two channels, U.S. and Canada. I would say, yeah, that would be a more accurate way of indicating what's happening here. And again, this is but the latest attempt of any of the Canadian teams since 1993 to break that streak of futility that's been going on since Montreal in 1993, one which, again, as you know better than anyone else, so memorably started the next year when Vancouver yielded to your New York Rangers in that epic Stanley Cup final. And so Edmonton, this is their second crack at trying to do something about that. 2006, Edmonton and Carolina. What's really been interesting is a couple of the times over the years when a Canadian team has tried to win it all and end that streak, they've been going up against the Sun Belt team and lost every time, and somehow that must sting even worse, I would think. So,
well, again, that 06 Edmonton team, I was covering that, and UC Markkinen ended up becoming the goalie, who I remember him when he was a Ranger, mm-hmm. in the Stanley Cup. And again, so at the time, it was, you know, an unknown guy. Fairly unknown because Martin Gerber started the playoffs and then you ended up with Cam. But, you know, that Carolina team was so much better than Edmonton. I mean, Edmonton had Pronger and they had a few nice players, but they were never going to win that series.
Yeah.
So it was almost unfair, like, for people to get their hopes up in that one.
I agree with that. And in looking at this, now again, conversely, you actually led into question that I had here, and something that goes back to our NBA talk of a few minutes ago, because I will say with the NBA Finals upcoming, I am going out on a limb here. I've been accused by some of making a heart over head pick because I do loathe all things Boston, but I'm picking the Dallas Mavericks for the upset, and one of the reasons being in the NBA there is a strong correlation between the best player and winning the championship. And the way that Luka has looked throughout these playoffs here, he looks like he's a man not to be denied. And I don't think anybody's ever said that about Jason Tatum on his best day, as talented as he is. So it's a thing, when you turn your attention to hockey, you've got, again, going
well,
back.
I'm going to say one thing. I've got a 6-degree connection to the Dallas Mavericks in the sense that we were in a Stratomatic league during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and I played at least 2 to 4 games against Brian Cuban.
Okay.
Super nice guy.
Wow.
Mark Cuban's brother. Really, really, really good guy, and I was very impressed with him. Yeah, he's out of Pittsburgh, and just cool. So I could never root against them, and I always hated the Celtics when I was a Knicks fan, so this would be easy. And Luka, I've met Luka, and he was just a tremendous guy. Even as a rookie, when I met him, I could tell there was something different about this guy, just from off
yeah.
the court. So I could see that he was going to be special. So
yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's really uncanny, right down to the height. But a guy who is very, very LeBron-like as far as both the body that he has, the skill set that he has, a great passer and facilitator as well as a scorer. I mean, he really sort of is the next closest thing that we've had. And then, interestingly enough, now you say you couldn't root against Dallas. The fact that Kyrie is there and Kyrie has done some of the questionable things
he's
done.
I can root against Kyrie. That's
yes,
fair.
Yes. I think I got you on that one. By the way, interesting bit of trivia here that Luka always really, really relishes his visits to my hometown on America's North Coast, Cleveland. Do you know why he always relishes
his visits? Why would anybody do that?
Because we have, apparently, I believe, this country's biggest wealth of, if you want to call it wealth, of Slovenians here. So they always turn out. There's always like a whole boatload of them that turn out for the games. He goes over there, signs autographs, whatever. He gets a welcome from his countrymen in my town here like he doesn't get anywhere else in the league. Interesting
trivia. I'm going to tell you, the one thing that always gets me, and I'll be in Cleveland this summer at the National
Look forward
again.
To it.
What always gets me is when I'm getting close to town, if we stop in at a gas station, no other state that I've ever been to compete with Cleveland with the piles of cigarettes that they have at these gas stations. Nobody can compete with that.
Well, as I always tell you, at least with us having Mr. Hero here, you get to come to a metro market where we give you some real cheesesteaks, but I will
I mean, I don't take offense to that because I'm from New York and they don't have grilled cheesesteaks. Philly does. I'm willing to say Mr. Hero is not the guy. But.
Well, the fact that you're in Greater Philly right now is why I dropped that bomb on you.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, this is a thing where, again, I know it's not exactly the same as the NBA in terms of the correlation between best player and winning at all, but... again, in our FDH rankings, not in a fantasy sense, but just in an overall sense, as we do every year of the best players in the league, which we're actually finalizing for this year at this point. I mean, Connor McDavid has been number one on our list for a number of years now.
Probably
a minimum of five or six. So it's a thing where there's a natural question that comes to my mind because you know how I love the cross-sport analogies. So you have Luka trying to assert that he's the best player in the world right now, and I think it's going to make or break whether we would slot him ahead of the Joker based on whether he can win the finals here. You've got McDavid who doesn't have anything to prove, but it's a deal where...
But I think he's at a different level now. I do. I don't know if you saw the TBS. TBS is done with the playoffs, which is a shame because they've...
Yes.
Done a better job than ESPN. I think we all agree with that. And Wayne Gretzky has done a better job than I thought he would do. And, you know, when he was sort of signing off, he, you know, was wishing McDavid good luck and all these things. And, you know, and McDavid was like, hey, thanks, Gretz. And he took off the headset. And that was the first time that I could ever think that maybe Connor McDavid might get to Wayne Gretzky's level. Because now he's in the Stanley Cup. That changes everything as far as your legacy.
It does, and it's going to be very important for him, and also for Leon Draisaitl, who, again, I've had him consistently in the top five the last couple of years.
Well, here's the funny thing about Leon. So, in his draft year, they called him the German Gretzky, and I could see he was a really, really good player, but I'm one who doesn't like comparables, and trying to compare anybody to the greatest hockey player ever, and people have done it before. Like, there have been other players before. Hey, he's the, you know, Slovenian Gretzky, or hey, he's the Chechen, you know what I mean? They've done it before. Well, I got to tell you, this is the one time where they've gotten pretty close.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of these things where, and again, you know me being from the North Coast, I always hate to put over anything from Pittsburgh, but I mean, the combination of those two guys, extraordinarily, now not in terms of styles of play necessarily or whatever, but if you're just looking at the way that two guys turbocharge a team, the only time I've really seen this in the 21st century is probably Crosby and Malkin.
Crosby and Malkin, and I think Rantanen and McKinnon are there now.
Okay, yeah, maybe Rantanen's gotten to that level, you're right.
Yes.
And that's where, because again, even with Tampa Bay, when you had the whole thing, you know, as Nikita was shooting up the charts here, this is kind of when Stamkos, the last couple of years, he gets into his 30s. I'm not exactly sure that they were both at that level at the same point in time. You know, they were sort of ships passing in the night a little bit, as far as, which sounds weird to say because they won two titles together and came close to a third. But, you know, it just to say how rare it is that you have, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl both here at this level. You have, you know, the emergence in there of Evan Bouchard. And I will say, FDH Lounge dignitary Joe Lindway kind of busted my nuts a little bit before the playoffs picking Edmonton. It's like, oh, what makes you think their goaltending is going to be good enough? And I basically was like, if you don't think Stuart Skinner is better than what they've had the last couple of years, at the very least, then you really haven't been paying attention. And that's the whole thing, too. I mean, he is never going to be at the level of the way that Bob plays when he's at his best, or some of these other guys.
No, but even, last game, he was great. This is the first time I can say Stuart Skinner was great.
Yes. And he can be, but I mean, he's not going to be great as often as Bob's going to be great, or Ottinger, or any of these guys. So one of the big questions about this Edmonton team of the last several years has been sort of like, how good does the defense have to be exactly? How good does the goaltending have to be exactly for them to be able to break through? Because this offense, especially at a power play level, a literally unstoppable team on the power play, how good do these other elements have to be? And I think that's what a good chunk of the series may come down to, yes, in terms of whether the support elements of this team can be there enough for the offense to put them over the top.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the support elements, and they're a lot better than they used to be for Edmonton. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is on a different level now.
Yep.
So, and he is secondary scoring only because they have McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah.
I look at, Henrique was a nice addition when he could play. I look at Evan Bouchard now, clearly the emergence of Paul Coffey being their coach when they redid the coaching staff has helped, I think, the entire team defense and Evan Bouchard. And we know that Paul Coffey wasn't known for his defense, but if you watch the way Bouchard plays and that extra confidence, and even a lot of the other defensemen now, it's not so much what they're doing physically or even on defense, just having the puck. Paul Coffey always had the puck. So I think he has gotten that in with these guys. You watch the bounce back from Darnell Nurse, where that could have been really bad with him in the media. McDavid, took charge there, and that next game, Nurse did really well. I even went so far as to say that were his uncle, under that kind of scrutiny for that moment, his uncle might have failed.
Yeah.
Because we've seen, what happened with Donovan McNabb in some big situations. Well, Nurse didn't. He came back, he had a couple of big blocks, he had a point in the game. And, and they advanced. So that was big for them, too. That was another galvanizing, kind of moment. So, like, all of the rhetoric, and I can't call it rhetoric, I would say the narrative that had been around for the last 2 years for Edmonton is gone. It's gone. You can't use it anymore. You're not allowed to.
I would agree with that. And in terms of comparing the two teams, the point at which I made the prediction on what would be the Stanley Cup final. Again, same document as where I'm going to read off these numbers. Again, you can find it on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, the 2024 FDH NHL end of regular season breakdown. Here is a point of comparison between the two teams statistically here, and we'll get your thoughts on it after I run through this. Final FDH power rankings for the regular season. I had Florida first and Edmonton sixth. Very interesting here, courtesy of Hockey Reference. A couple of these stats come from there, but their proprietary SRS stat, which is, I believe, yeah, their version of a power ranking. Florida 1, Edmonton 2. So I'm not the only guy that nailed this. They were 1-2 in their final power rankings, which, when I reviewed this, I was dumbfounded. They nailed it. Power play.
You want to know, you want to know something else?
What?
Statistically, if you want to figure out that these two teams are the teams, just go look at the scoring, player scoring for the playoffs. And you'll see that, like, Edmonton had four out of the top five, and then the Florida guys started dropping in. It's not, there's a reason.
And Florida was maybe due, because when I get to that number in particular, I think it'll show that they were due to get going in the playoffs here. Power play percentage, Florida 8th, Edmonton 4th. I would have thought Edmonton would have been even better than that, great as it is.
Penalty
kill percentage, Florida 6th, Edmonton 14th. Okay. The Fenwick 4 percentage here, you've got Florida 5th and Edmonton 2nd. Shot percentage, Florida 22nd, Edmonton 10th. So this is where I start to say maybe more shots were due to go in, and we'll see more of that in a second here. Save percentage, conversely, Florida 2nd, Edmonton 14th. Goals scored, Florida only 11th in the regular season, so maybe they were due here coming into the postseason. Edmonton 4th. Goals against, Florida was second, and Edmonton was seventh. And adding up these numbers here, again, the lowest number is the best as you're adding up all these rankings here. Carolina was actually the leader at 51. Dallas was second at 52. Florida was third at 58. The Rangers fourth at 61. Edmonton fifth at 63. Vancouver sixth at 71. That was the top tier. There was a break after that. So the third and fifth teams respectively heading into this. In our final statistical breakdown for the regular season. And again, what jumps out at me, particularly in light of what you highlighted here, the shot percentage of Florida 22nd and 11th in goals scored. And again, you look at the way they've been sort of turbocharged in the offseason. It's almost the flip side of one of the reasons that I picked Edmonton to at least go to the final prior to the playoffs here. I looked at the way that they started the season so crappy. And I get into this philosophical disagreement with FDH Lounge dignitary Ben Hsu. He doesn't really believe in progression to the mean, regression to the mean. I do. At least he doesn't believe in it the way I do. And I point to St. Louis the year they won the Cup, the year they finally broke through. They were so garbage at a certain point. That's why they needed Gloria to turn them around. They needed something to latch on to. I remember saying at the time, look out for this team. They're going to snap back like a rubber band, and that's what they did. And that's kind of what Edmonton did after they made the coaching change here. So in terms of who's going to follow this thing all the way through, there's Edmonton after the way that they bottomed out very early in the season and then came back stronger than ever. And then there's Florida that on the regular season scoring and shot numbers, you think to yourselves, this has really been more of the Florida team I think we expected to see scoring-wise in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think right now momentum's equal. I don't think either team has the momentum starting the Stanley Cup. And there's a really weird thing, too, here. Normally the media day is days before the Stanley Cup, but because of the weird travel, it's the day before.
Okay.
It's the Friday, and that's kind of odd. So that's like there's going to be like an extra long media session before, you know, the teams skate and all that. So yeah, that'll mix it up a little bit, and we'll get some interesting quotes right before that, you know, that first game. So I think that's interesting. And then the first game is going to be on the same night as the NHL Combine. The Combine will be during the day. The Stanley Cup will be at night. But again, you can't have all these reporters in two places at once, so some will be at the Combine like me, others will be at the Stanley Cup. So it's an interesting time of the year. So we'll all be talking about a lot of hockey.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, in terms of the amount of travel involved for this series, again, just look at a freaking map here. Like, I'm not sure you could pick two teams in North America geographically further apart. I mean, not until we inevitably get a Super Bowl fought between, say, Guam and Frankfurt in like 2045, will we see anything like this, you know, in terms of travel.
The Guam team will be formerly the Jaguars, right? I just want to make sure I got that right.
Yeah, they might be. They might be. I hope Tony Khan is out of his neck brace by then. Get well, Tony. But, you know, I had to work that in there. But as far as it all goes here, you know, the way that the travel is going to play on these teams, they're both going to come in for it's very, very weird to me that, and this has to have something to do with the fact that ABC has both the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final this year. That has to be the way that they're staggering the games for each of these here, because I remember thinking,
of course, and, you know, and ABC is going to give more credence to the NBA over the NHL.
Yes.
That's just, you know, and I'm always going to be inevitably annoyed by that, but that's just reality.
Well, sure. So it's a thing where it's odd to me that you've got a 6-game conference finals on both sides wrapping up Saturday and Sunday, and then game one isn't until the next Saturday. I mean, that's kind of a long stretch there. So, again, you have two hard-fought 6-game series, but theoretically, teams would be fresh as a daisy as though they'd only gone 4 or 5 games because of the stretch between then and how long it's going to take to get to the actual puck drop of final game one. But then again, the amount of travel that's going to be involved, too. Not for Florida at the outset of the series anyways, but for Edmonton. And so this is going to be one of these things here, too. Seeing how this plays out, and it's not only the travel time, it's the time zones. There's going to be an element to this thing here. I mean, is this going to be sort of a wild card that's going to be really, really kind of hard to forecast, the fact that the travel is going to be so extreme relative to what it generally is?
Yeah, I think the travel will be a factor. I think at least for a period, there'll be a little bit of a rust factor. I don't think it'll be too bad. So I think there'll be that. I think there'll be some media issues where you might see some craziness because the Canadian media will just do whatever they need to do to basically get Edmonton's name out there. Not that they're pulling for Edmonton or anything, but they'll just overcover them. And so as a result, I think you'll see some of that too. And that doesn't mean that Florida gets the edge there. It just means that we're going to hear way more about Edmonton than we probably do about Florida just because.
Well, yeah. And that's the way that it goes because, again, they've got, you know, the very, very decorated dynamic duo we spoke of earlier. Meanwhile,
yes.
With Florida here, again, a lot of firepower and more evenly distributed, but a lot of big studs here, starting with, of course, the franchise player Matthew Tkachuk, but not too far behind. Sam Reinhart breaking through with 57 goals this year. Alexander Barkov last year, which you kind of busted my balls when we were talking about best players from either team. I was like, is he even close to Jack Eichel? And you're like, get out of here. So, but yeah. Barkov is still a great player.
He is. Now in the playoffs, he's the best center in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. He's been going great guns. Carter Verhaeghe. And a lot of these guys.
Verhaeghe, just an unbelievable story. I mean, the way they got him, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And all of these guys in their prime years here, too. Sam Bennett, similarly.
I remember, just because I mentioned the combine, Sam Bennett couldn't do a pull-up at the combine, which, of course, means nothing. But really can punch somebody in the face or play some great physical hockey, man. He's become a guy you don't want to be near.
Well, yeah, I mean, 100 penalty minutes tells you all you need to know. And I was having a discussion with somebody about this today, FDH Lounge dignitary Joe Lindway. We were talking about this, and he was raising the point to me about, again, you go back 2 years to when Florida kind of blew it with the President's Trophy, and they end up making the trade to bring in Tkachuk here.
Right.
And being, they're so much tougher and grittier than they are now. And Lindway, like you, a Rangers fan, was bemoaning that because he was like, the Rangers need some of that. And you saw the difference between the teams there.
Yeah, but it wasn't going to be like Matt Rempe bringing it, like some Ranger fans thought. It's you know, you have to do it in a different way.
Yeah.
Florida doesn't only just play physical. They right. What they managed to do with the Rangers was they, you know, when the Rangers would get the puck over the blue line, they already were in their spots to kind of bottleneck up the middle. And really the Rangers, like even Kreider, could not really get to the net, and everything was from the outside. And they're going to do the same thing to McDavid. And so I believe that right now is the biggest, really the biggest factor is Edmonton's offense going to be able to break that.
Yeah. I mean, because again, people talk about, and justifiably so, a very, very disappointing series for New York's franchise player, Panarin. It really, really was. But it's one of these things where you look at it and you think on some level you can extrapolate to what that's going to be like here. But again, Connor McDavid, much like, you know, a Victor Wembanyama in the NBA, like the laws of physics don't necessarily tend to apply to him. So it's one of those things
right.
where we can extrapolate nothing from what was done to Panarin and Kreider and some of these other guys here. That to me is going to be one of the biggest X factors of the whole thing here. And when you talked about that before, as far as McDavid's, you know, opportunity to basically go Gretzky, so to speak. I mean, if he can, they're going to win this series. If he can't, are they going to just come close but fall short? It seems like there's so, so much that's on his shoulders heading into this thing here, really. I mean, Dreisaitl maybe to a certain degree also as a top five player in the league, but it's like this whole thing of like what Florida can do and the way that they kind of dictated the terms of the series in the end, can this be applicable to the two megastars they're going to be playing against wearing the Oilers jerseys?
Like most big things like the Cup, and today I was asked on SiriusXM my most memorable Stanley Cup, and of course, you know, I know he wants me to say 94, but it was 2003 because I really, you know, I covered that Cup. It was that Game 7 was a little boring, but it took a mountain for me to get to that Game 7. And Mike Rupp scores the game-winning goal. I didn't know who Mike Rupp was.
Uh-huh.
I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
I've been covering the Stanley Cup. I don't even know who this guy is. So that took me by surprise. To actually have a cup winner scored by a guy that, you know, was barely an NHLer at the time.
Yeah.
So, so it's always going to be somebody else. It's usually not going to be those flashy guys. And so, you know, I do kind of peek around and do look at a team and see what the lineup looks like and who those guys might be. And I think Florida's got more of them.
They do. They do. They've got this thing on depth. They've got this thing on grit. And, again, defensively, you know, again, as we said, Edmonton has made strides. Boy, have they in the last couple of years, and certainly in net. And the question is to whether this is going to be enough, basically, you know, here in the end. Again, Florida seems to be the betting favorite in a lot of quarters, and I can kind of understand that. And I got to say, you know, again, Edmonton was my pick coming into the playoffs, but as I did on Twitter in the Western Conference Finals, I do feel free to reverse myself as I did to the negative by picking Dallas, by second-guessing myself when I shouldn't have. And I'm on the verge of second-guessing my Edmonton pick here, but I first want to hear what you have to say about it, Russ.
Look, both teams have a fighting chance, no question about it. I don't think it's going to come down to seven. I think the journey might have been too much for both of them in the sense to last this one for seven. And I do think Edmonton's going to have to hang with the physicality. And I think they can for the most part. You know, I'm looking at it, and that last series, Florida beat the Rangers. And really, Matthew Tkachuk was not the offensive factor we thought he would be, but he did everything else. He's a great leader. He might be the best leader right now left, because he was saying all along exactly what his team was going to do, exactly how they're going to do it, and they did it. And so I believe in him. I believe in him being able to rally his guys. I believe in Bob. Like, I've known Bob really since he was a rookie goalie with the Flyers. And, you know, because I knew his interpreter, I used to get a lot of information about how Bob trained and just what he was thinking at times, things that the media wouldn't get and I wasn't going to post. And so, you know, right now, this is the best mentally I've ever seen Bob. You know, his offensive gifts are there, right? He's won business. But this is the best I've seen him mentally. And so that's the edge that I don't think Stuart Skinner has. He's just starting to build up that resume, but, like, you know, Bob's been doing it, living it, getting, you know, and he's really hard on himself. So, like, I always tell people, you know, when things weren't going good, you know, ripping on Bob, it's like he was probably ripping on himself harder than anybody who thought he was not being able to be an NHL goalie anymore, which is what a lot of people thought.
Yep.
So, you know, right now, and I haven't said this on SiriusXM yet, but right now tonight, and I still could change my mind. I hate to be that guy.
Okay.
But I got to give you my prediction for now, and because I'm going to look at other stats. Right now, my gut is telling me Florida in five.
Wow.
That's what my gut is telling me. It doesn't mean I'm going to settle on that, but that's what my gut's telling me.
Well, I will say this, that if it's 3-1 and they're playing it in Florida, I don't know that there's ever been a stronger inducement in a closeout game than, boys, lose this game and you got to get on a jet to Edmonton.
Right. Although, if memory serves, didn't Boston have to get on the jet to go to Vancouver to win, right?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Yeah.
So that was a long distance between the two. And by the way, too, before anybody would mention to us, well, Florida had to go different time zones last year with Vegas. Yeah, you're not exactly flying straight across, but much closer to straight as opposed to the wild diagonal to get all the way up to northern Alberta. So
this is
the thing here. Answer me this here, dude. Don't you think both teams, if you offered them right now, both teams would go for a 2-3-2 if they had the chance right now?
Of course, yeah. I think it would be more humane.
Yes. I mean, even Edmonton giving up game six at home, they'd be like, screw it. You mean we don't have to fly back and forth cross-continent between game six and seven? Sign me up for that. So Yeah, that's if this does go seven, this is where, I mean, the fatigue in the end is really, really going to play.
It really could be a big factor, but I just don't think it's going to get to that.
You don't think so? Okay.
No.
All right. I'm going to say at this point here, I'm not going to say five, but I'm going to say Florida and six. I think they got to get on the jet. I think they got to go to Edmonton. I think they got to get it done. And once again, our frozen brethren to the north get it rubbed in their nose by having a Sun Belt team take the cup while their streak would now reach 31 years of futility. And again,
I will say it in more gentler terms. There are silly people out there that want to pick on the Sun Belt, and I think it's, you know, way too far down the road to do it now, considering the wins that have come out of the Sun Belt, especially with Tampa. So that shouldn't even be a factor anymore. It should never even get mentioned ever again.
Yeah. Well, you know, the media is going to do what the media is going to do. But, of course, you know, you're right about that, and that the Sun Belt has been home to some of the best teams of the last 31 years, and that's why the record has shown the way that it has. But this is one of these things. You're speaking of silly people. Will we see folks in Alberta debasing themselves as they did in 2004 and 2006. 2004, when you had a strong contingent of Oiler fans rooting for Calgary. 2006, when the Flame fans, a lot of them, returned the favor. We won't see Flame fans stooping to that level here just to get a Canadian championship, will we? I hope not.
No.
Forget who you hate. Forget who you, or remember who you hate, I should say. Don't forget who you hate. That would be like, I've compared this to as much as I joked about before, when the NFL goes truly global, let's say the NFL goes 31 years without an American Super Bowl team here. Would there be people in Cleveland that would be rooting for the Steelers to end the streak? I think not, no matter how patriotic anybody is. So when those fans in Canada were doing that those years, I was just like, what are you doing? You're humiliating yourself. So I hope that the people of Calgary have as much fortitude as you believe that they're going to have, Russ, and that they won't stoop to that, and that they'll remember who their natural hated rivals are. But
yeah, I think they will. I mean, you know, again, one of the best Stanley Cups that I covered was the 04 when Tampa beat Calgary, and we had that great fight, too. Rosie McGinley and Vinny LeCavier, right, in the Stanley Cup. You don't really get fights in the Stanley Cup, and it wasn't a stage fight. This was just like a we hate each other fight. That was a tremendous Stanley Cup.
Oh, it absolutely was, and one of these prototypical Sun Belt v. Canada ones here. Let's not forget 07 with Anaheim and Ottawa.
Yep.
And again, we've kept getting these over and over and over again over a period of time. It's been a while since we've had one, although there was Tampa-Montreal a couple of years ago, but Montreal making it was just a fluke of the pandemic, I think.
Although I picked that one. That was an odd thing. That year I did pick it, and I just, you know, that was probably dumb luck. But yes, in the grand scheme of things, it was a fluke. It probably wasn't a fluke that they beat the Leafs.
Well, true, but I'll tell you this. That's the only Stanley Cup since 1993 where there's been a Canadian team in the finals, literally the Canadiens, Montreal, where nobody was saying, is this the year that Canada ends the drought? Nobody was saying that when they went up against the defending champion Lightning, and deservedly so. We saw the way that that one turned out. And again, looking at this here, I had faith that the Oil would be able to get it done before the playoffs started here, but again, looking at Florida now, look, that was a trap for me when I looked at the Western Conference Finals coming in, and I failed to take into consideration the fact that Dallas had the harder road, which is why I picked Edmonton in the first place. And again, this is one of these things where Florida has had the tougher road than Edmonton, no question about it, even with Edmonton having to get past Dallas, who looked like the best team through two rounds. But this is where, again, having about a week off in between the rounds here, it's a little bit flukish since they were six-game conference finals, but the schedule, I think, very, very kind to Florida, because again, they had the tougher path to get here. So if there was any kind of fatigue such as what Dallas carried into the Western Conference Finals, this time off in between is definitely going to help. But the travel, if it goes into a longer series, I wonder if that's where it starts to factor in more so for Florida, maybe with the tired legs.
Yeah, it definitely will. I mean, I would feel that too. I'll give you, since you really have done a good job here, I'll give you the same ovation that the that the Guardians gave Francisco Lindor recently when the Mets came to town.
That's right. That's right. He is not regarded as warmly here as, say, Cookie Carrasco. That's for a doggone sure. But who you said was going to turn out well for the Tribe back in the day, and I said to you, he's a guy who's a prospect with his sell-by date of a year ago, and you were right and I was wrong on that one here. So I am not shy about doffing my cap to when others best me on their predictions here. But basically, again, there's no besting me on these predictions here since we're agreeing to the same ones here. At least as of our taping date, as of when we're doing this here. I'll be monitoring to see on Twitter, Russ, if you reconsider between now and then.
See if I do a heel turn or I do a turn or something I find. If I do, I'll say why. But right now, this is how I feel right this moment.
Okay. Well, it's definitely going to be exciting. I can't wait for these Stanley Cup final games. They are going to be absolutely epic. As always, as great of a thrill as it is watching the games, equally so breaking it down with you, my man Russ Cohen from the Great Sportsology website and 10-time author. And I look forward to doing
NHL DraftBuzz.com.
NHLDraftBuzz.com. Let's talk about that here as well. And by the way, you'll be seeing it soon, a joint presentation between NHL DraftBuzz, Sportsology, the FDH Lounge, FantasyDraftHelp.com, and a host of others. Pro Hockey Draftology 2024. Soon to be available through all of our entities here. I am actually spending some time working on this here. Actually doing next season's predictions here. My early prediction for next season, you'll like this one, Rangers over Vegas in 7 in the Cup Final.
Wow. I haven't really thought about it much. certainly, both teams could get there. Not far-fetched at all.
Yeah, well, we'll see. They'll both be in the conversation as both were this year. But again... Yep. Always love breaking it down with you, and while I'm not looking forward to the series being over, I'll be looking forward to doing a recap with you afterwards. Always awesome with you, my man. Thank you so much, Russ Cohen, and thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1730.